The following program is rated M for a mature audience. It contains coarse language.
Coming to you from a well-lit corner of Midtown Sacramento, it's The Nate Darling Show, featuring Sam Plants, Diana Hong, and Kareem Daniels. And now, he loves him some him, here's Nate.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Friday episode of The Nate Darling Show.
It's Friday.
Sam is back in the States, but he had to do laundry and wash his balls, so he couldn't make it. So next week we'll hear all about Brazil.
That's gross.
It is gross if you don't wash your balls.
It's just really gross.
Especially like, you know, right behind them underneath. Because you will get a funk back there, the likes of which is just crazy.
That's so gross. I don't need to have this conversation. Never mind. My friend, he just had his first BJ and gave his first BJ. And so he called to tell me, and I was like talking to him about it, and I was just like, this is gross. I don't want to hear about this, actually. I was like, that's so gross. I don't know why you like, I was like, dude, which one did you like better? And he was like, I like both. And he's like, I think I like giving better. And I was just like, that's so disgusting to me. He's like, there's a reason why we don't like agree on certain things.
Yeah, that meant you would be both gay men.
Right. Or I'd be fucking straight.
You remember the first blowjob you had, Nate?
I know this joke, Kareem, so I'm not playing.
No, I'm just a question.
Yeah, I know the joke. It was on The Sopranos.
Oh.
How long did it take the guy to come?
No, I remember my first one. I came home and I was like, "Ooh, she's nasty."
Oh, I thought you were going for the joke.
No, I'll tell you.
Do you remember your first blowjob? And you always go, "Yeah," and you go, "How long did it take the guy to come?"
Oh.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. It was all part of a bigger thing. It wasn't just like a standalone blowjob. So,
oh yeah.
So there you go. Coming up on the news today, Chris Christie getting down, Lenny Kravitz letting it all hang out, and an old man in Connecticut gets the police called. We'll explain all of that. But first, any big weekend plans, peeps?
I'm getting drunk. Well, that's a goal, but probably not.
Okay.
What is this weekend? Shit. I don't even know what I'm doing this weekend.
It's like the 15th of August.
There's something going on this weekend, but I can't remember what it is.
Nothing exciting.
Yeah. Oh, I was... Well, this is Friday, so yes. Wednesday I would have went to see Esperanza Spalding in Folsom, and I would have fell in love. And hopefully... I wouldn't be here today because she fell in love with me, too. I ran off with her.
Ah, so if we don't see you next week, we know what happened.
Esperanza Spalding took me away.
Uh-huh. And how do you explain that to your girlfriend and your grandson and everybody else?
I have to leave everything where it is.
Start to ramble?
I just have to start all over again.
All right.
I don't think my girlfriend would let me come back to get anything if I ran off.
Well, if she did, it would probably be out on the lawn on fire. So
yeah.
There's that. Makes it easier to find everything. It's in that pile on the lawn that's on fire. Get what you can.
Yeah.
Oh, Diane, have you ever lit anything on fire on a lawn?
Like on purpose?
Yeah.
That wasn't meant to be.
Like out of spite?
Oh, out of spite? No.
Oh, that's right. You're the guy in the relationship.
Yeah. I
was just saying, Diana looked like she's the person that somebody's burnt her shit up.
My ex threw my shit. I thought I told you guys about this. Because my friend and I are talking about, like, because she's really mellow and chill. She's like, I don't understand people that can get so crazy. Like, it must be therapeutic, though, to fuck someone's shit up.
If you're a mental patient.
Like, if you get really mad at someone, just fuck someone's shit up, right? So, like, I was telling her about this once. I was like, yeah, I mean, I don't know what it was because one time my ex, like, this is right when we broke up. She fucking went ape shit on me. And luckily, my computer was not in my backpack, but she fucking threw my backpack over the railing because it was like two stories, threw it over the railing, threw all my clothes, got all my clothes from the closet and just picked it up and just threw everything over. It was just like kicking shit. I was just like, so like, I don't know what to do.
So. Yeah, I worked with a guy He did. It was back when I worked in radio because, as you know,
I am a professionally trained radio DJ.
And I was doing the afternoon shift, and the guy who did middays, I rolled in and the boss was doing the show. So I was listening to a cassette or something coming in. And I'm like, where's Mike? Turns out Mike, and it was a rainy day, Mike had gotten to work. And so he's on the air at about 10:15. He'd had a fight with his girlfriend that morning. And he lived about a half hour from the station. And Mike gets this call from his girlfriend. And it's raining. He's just started his on-air shift. And we're getting we get paid hourly, by the way. So if you're not there, you don't get paid. And she calls him up and says, hey, you better get back here because I'm throwing all your shit out on the lawn. So he had to leave work, drive back. Now, she'd already started, so by the time he got there, his stuff had been out on the lawn in the rain for at least 40 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Ooh.
She's a delight.
Yeah.
Thankfully, I've never had anything like that happen. And Leslie's not insane, so I don't have to worry about that happening in future.
I am so excited. I like Leslie. I'm so excited.
I like her too. That's why I'm moving in with her.
Oh, that's too cute.
Yeah, the podcast studio moving out of Sacramento across the river to West Sacramento, Yolo County.
YOLO.
Oh, that's far.
It's 3 miles from here. It's really not that far.
Oh, see, when I was growing up, Yolo County just always seems so fucking far.
It's just across the river.
Fuck, where the fuck is the river?
It's 3 miles. It's about 2.5 miles east of here, or west of here.
On the other side of the sack.
You know where the bridges are? The Tower Bridge.
Is that by where Old Sac is?
Yeah, it's on the other side of the river. Sac is West Sac.
Yeah.
Oh, oops.
Yeah, it's right there.
Fuck, I know.
It's really, where are you coming from? Let me just,
Rancho.
So if you're coming from Rancho, you're on Highway 50.
Yeah.
You get off at the exit that you would get off to. Basically, when you go over the river, you get off the first exit. You're going to take a left, and you're going to go straight for a while, and then there's a couple of turns.
Thank God there's Google.
Actually, it's going to be probably faster for you to get there than here, even though it's a little farther.
I'm totally down for that. So, because I could sleep in an extra minute.
Well, maybe, because you were 10 minutes late today. So maybe you can...
I mean, if we think about all the time, I'm never on time. I'm always early or late. Right. I think I've been on time once, actually.
Yes. That's happening end of the month. I'll have all of the deets when we get everything moved in, because this weekend I am going to Monterey to the races at Laguna Seca Mazda Raceway, watching Adam Carolla racing Paul Newman's race cars.
Adam Carolla.
And we may be going to the, I forget what they call it, but it's like a big car show in Monterey where they have the really nice, expensive cars out for everybody to look at. And they also have the Lemons out on the lawn, too. So like a 73 Pacer. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Nice to see.
It'll be cool. If I go, I will get pictures. I will post them on Facebook for people to see. And while I'm doing that, Leslie is going to be ripping up the floor in the bedroom and putting in new flooring. So I will have a fresh new floor for my bedroom when I move in.
Yay.
Woo!
Well, the new bed has to go somewhere.
That is true.
The new bed with the vibrating base, I am so looking forward to that.
Yeah, it means you only have to work now.
I'm just looking forward to being able to get into the zero gravity position and then just watch TV. Feet up, head up, little vibration going. That's going to be like heaven.
Show off.
Especially if I have a CPAP and I can breathe all night.
Oh my God, and then your brain is going to get above 70%.
My brain will get enough oxygen so that it doesn't think I'm dying. And everything will be good. So we'll see how that goes. But for you, the listener, nothing will change. Shows on Wednesday and Friday as normal. So keep on listening. Keep on supporting. Thank you. And go ahead and tell a friend. If you get somebody you think might enjoy this show, tell them about it, because it's free. When I was up on the houseboat this past weekend, Leslie's aunt and a few other people were like, we listened to one of the shows and heard there was a lot of cursing, which is fine. And we hit the subscribe button, and we're like, is this going to cost us anything? Because if it's going to cost us anything, we're going to want a refund. And I'm like, no, it's free. Always has been free. Always will be free.
A lot of cussing.
There's a lot.
Did they specifically say?
They said some woman. So that would be you.
Shut the fuck up.
Exactly. That would be you. That would be you.
I mean, yeah.
No, I mean, when Mel was here, she cursed too. But yeah, there was a lot of that going on. So we do appreciate that people support the show by shopping Amazon through the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com. Here are some of the things that people have bought so far this month. Some things for entertainment, some things, some sports and outdoors. Here are a couple of cool things that didn't end up being a lot of money for us, but they're a cool thing. Crossman Airsoft 5,000 count bottle of white Airsoft BBs. And
should we be concerned?
No. No, we shot BB guns on the houseboat this weekend. Ooh. Last weekend. Yeah. That was fun.
I shoot you in the ass. That's the only time you shoot.
I've got shot with a BB gun. That shit hurts.
It was they had a Red Ryder BB gun. Ooh. Shoot your eye out.
Really?
Yes, really. And then they had one with like a pink stock and barrel grip. Somebody bought an Apple TV. That was very nice. Those have come down in price a lot. The current Apple TV for $67.87. That meant $5.42 for us. Somebody bought a Fitbit. That was a nice little
nice
little bit for us. Somebody bought a Boom wireless Bluetooth speaker for they bought two of them. I'm sorry, two of them. And then somebody bought two Fitbits. So the two Fitbits, and two Apple TVs, and buy the more. On Amazon. So thank you so much for doing that. I heard from Sushi Brian that he was the one who bought the ice shaver.
Oh.
He was like, ice shaver. And I didn't get a chance to respond to him. I wanted to go, are you the one that got the ear gauge lube as well? Because I know he did not.
What's the ice shaver?
It was something that he bought last month.
What is it? You shave ice with it?
Yeah, you make shaved ice.
Oh, the ice shaver. Oh.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Wait, yeah.
He hit me up about Sushi Brian. Last week's show.
Brian came in to do improv classes at the Comedy Spot. This was quite a while ago. And really cool guy. And he, until last year or the year before, ran Kimon Sushi on 16th Street. Like 16th and...
X.
Was it X?
Yeah.
Oh, that big one. That was like that gen size. Oh, I know which one you're talking. It's B.
Yeah, really, really nice guy, and he listens to the show. Hi, Brian. And so he did what everybody should do. He went to the site, he clicked the link, and then he bookmarked it. So now he just goes back to that bookmark every time he needs to buy something
thanks,
on Amazon.
Brian.
And he's found how much easier it is to do stuff rather than run out and get something here, get something there, and spend gas and deal with the people at the mall and all that other jazz. So thank you. Everyone should be more like Brian.
Yeah. He hit me up about the show last week about the retreat.
Yeah, I mean, it's good. And of course, you can interact with us on Facebook too. You know, you can friend us. You can like the show's Facebook page and send us messages there. You can even call the listener line, which is listed right on the website. So, we will get your voicemails and we will listen to those as they come in as well. So, last week John Stewart did his last show, the last Daily Show with Jon Stewart. Are you guys sad?
I am sad. The world's a worse place.
That's a different place. Stephen Colbert came back, as did every other correspondent that's ever been on the Daily Show, including that horrible excuse for human being, Mo Rocca. I fucking hate Mo Rocca. Fucking hate that guy. But Stephen Colbert made Jon Stewart cry. It was sad, right?
This is amazing. I have to say, ladies and gentlemen, this is amazing. That's it. That's all I have. My thanks to everybody over all these years. When you look at the talent that's passed through these doors, it had been hard to screw this show up. I just want to thank everybody who lent their talents to this program. It meant the world. Get it. But thank you.
Customer. really you.
Just a moment. Aren't you forgetting someone, John? You can't possibly leave without saying goodbye to your Sam.
Wait. Who's Sam?
I am John.
What am I, Diane? What is this, Cheers? Well, I don't understand.
No, John, don't you see? You're Frodo.
Wait, you're Sam, I'm Frodo. How am I Frodo? Why are you Frodo?
John, one of us is adult size and does not have hairy toes. And John...
Point taken.
John, like Frodo, you were leaving us on a voyage to the Undying Lands.
I'm just going to New Jersey, Steven.
For 16 years, you and your basic cable fellowship of funny clutched that ring of power and trudged up the steep slopes of Mount Doom.
We didn't trudge so much. It's just, what's the ring in this metaphor?
The ring of power in this metaphor is a metaphor for power. A power to be a player in the world of media and Washington politics.
Yeah, but I don't really want that, so it's not that.
John, you know who else didn't want that?
Frodo.
Your words, John. Frodo thought surely Saruman would know they meant to destroy the ring, but I don't have to tell you what Gandalf said about that.
You're just going to tell me, though, aren't you?
He said, and I'm paraphrasing here, even though I could do it verbatim if I wanted. He said, my fellow Americans, It has not entered into Sauron's darkest dreams that we would seek to destroy rather than wield this hideous power. And in Gandalf's metaphor here, power also stood for power.
I just want to say that I am so touched that everybody could be here tonight. And
me too, John. Is there a party or anything? Because I brought a lot of people from CBS, and I told them that I know you.
Yes. There is a party, and you can go to it. Stephen Colbert, everybody. We'll be right back.
So then they went to commercial break. They hugged. Oh, but they didn't go to commercial break.
Actually, no, please sit down. Actually, John, we're not quite done.
Do
just a moment, John. No, you can't stop anyone because they don't work for you anymore. Huge mistake, John.
Please don't do this.
It'll be quick if you just hold still. John, I've been asked and have the privilege to say something to you that is not in the prompter right now.
Please don't do
this. Here's the thing, John. You said to me and to many other people here years ago never to thank you because we owe you nothing.
No, thank
it is one of the few times I've known you to be dead wrong. We owe you, and not just what you did for our career by employing us to come on this tremendous show that you made. We owe you because we learn from you. We learn from you, by example, how to do a show with intention, how to work with clarity, how to treat people with respect. You are infuriatingly good at your job, okay? Who were lucky enough to work with you, and you can edit this out later. All of us who were lucky enough to work with you for 16 years are better at our jobs because we got to watch you do yours, and we are better people for having known you. You are a great artist and a good man, and personally, I do not know how this son of a poor Appalachian turd miner... I do not know what I would do if you hadn't brought me on this show. I'd be back in those hills mining turds with Pappy. John, you know by now I'd have dung lung. Okay? So, John, and it's almost over.
All right.
I know you are not asking for this, but on behalf of so many people whose lives you changed over the past 16 years, thank you. And now, I believe your line, and correct me if I'm wrong, is... We'll be right back.
And Stuart got very choked up and was fighting back the tears. And then all of the correspondents rushed in and gave him a big hug.
16 fucking years. That's crazy.
So, Trevor, what's his name, will be taking over. Trevor Noah in September.
We'll see how that goes.
Stephen Colbert taking over for Letterman on CBS. But it was it wasn't all... hugs and love at the end. Arby's, which has been a
whipping boy,
a whipping boy of Jon Stewart. Well, let's take care of that with Jon Stewart's greatest Arby's hits. Oh, hold on. This is an ad that Arby's made for Arby's, and it starts out with just says red letters on white background for John. Love Arby's.
Arby's. Isn't there anywhere else we can eat Arby's? Arby's. Arby's with sliced something. Technically, it's food. Come for the tweets. Run from the meats. Come on, baby. Come on.
Thank you for being a friend. Travel down the road and back again. Your heart is true. You're a pal and a confidant.
Boom! Why not challenge your stomach to a fight? You think pain and grief are hard to digest?
It's like shock and awe for your bowel. The meal that's a dare for your colon.
It's like if a stomach could get punched in the balls. All right, fine, Arby's.
Thank you for being a friend.
And says, not sure why, but we'll miss you.
Aww.
From Arby's. So they show they have a sense of humor. But that was only the first of their commercials. Here was the second one.
This is the last sandwich Arby's ever wanted to make. Because it means he's really leaving. This sandwich with double corned beef and deli mustard on marble rye. It's for John. But also, it's for all of us. To eat at Arby's whenever the sad thoughts come back.
Because it's not goodbye, it's a sandwich. So...
the fuck? I like the beat. I just did not get that.
Well, what don't you get?
I don't know.
He's been making fun of Arby's
for
years.
No, I got that. No, I didn't get the second commercial, though.
Oh, the second commercial was just...
like, just for the sandwich,
they're just pushing a new sandwich.
Yeah, okay. That's what threw me off. I was like,
All right, so we have some science for you. I know how you hate politics. You ready for some science, Diane?
Yeah.
This is why women are always freezing in offices, according to science.
Tell me.
Are you always cold in an office when you work there?
You know what? I was, but I wasn't the only one.
Not the only woman, you mean?
Yeah.
That was cold. Because if you're a woman who works in an office and you're always freezing, you're not alone. It turns out that most office buildings are kept at a temperature that's comfortable to the average man.
White man.
Yeah, I was like, what?
'Cause it'd be cold.
But women typically produce less body heat than men, meaning they're more likely to feel chilled in the workplace. That's according to a new study. And there could be a benefit to fixing the thermostat besides keeping people more comfortable. Well, keeping women more comfortable. See, if we adjusted our office temperatures to better match women's needs, we could have a lot of energy. That's according to researchers. Buildings all over the world adhere to an indoor temperature standard determined by a model developed in the 60s. By the American Society of Heating, Refrigerating, and Air Conditioning Engineers, the model is based on factors like air temperature, airspeed, relative humidity, clothing, and the rate at which our bodies make heat, otherwise known as our metabolism. Quote, in principle, it's a beautiful standard based on thermodynamics, the heat balance between the body and the environment. That's according to Boris Kingma, a biologist in the Netherlands and co-author of the study published in Business Insider. However, anecdotal evidence suggests that women feel colder a lot more often than men. Why? Well, women's bodies produce less heat than men.
Sure.
Yeah.
See, why not?
Men and women like their skin to be warm, 92 degrees Fahrenheit, but it suggests that women prefer a far warmer environment, roughly 77 degrees Fahrenheit, than men, 72. This could be due to the fact that women's bodies produce less heat than men's do. On average, women are smaller than men, tend to have less muscle and more fat. And muscle produces more heat than fat.
Well, the only reason we have more fat is because we got titties.
And hips.
And that's hips, the good part about it being cold in offices.
That's why it is the man.
To see whether adding the data on women's metabolisms would change the optimal indoor temperature, Kingma and his colleagues measured the metabolic rates of a small group of 16 young women who did light office work, basically sitting behind a desk. They found that women's metabolic rates were measurably lower than those who used to calculate the standard values for the 60s model. In other words, the standard temperatures were too low. low because in the 60s, men had to be up and chasing their secretaries around a desk. The findings have an added benefit as well. The sizable number of all workers don't need so much air conditioning, meaning a lot of buildings could probably turn up the thermostat just a bit and save money. The researchers called for replacing standard values with actual ones in order to save energy in heating and cooling buildings. In addition to gender, standard temperatures should take into account people's age and body size and the type of work they're doing. Of course, the study sample was quite small, and larger studies are needed to confirm the findings. So, I know where I work, and every place where I have worked, women have a small space heater under their desk.
Or they wear layers.
And they have a small space heater under their desk.
Really? When I worked in the office, it was pretty, like, I just had a cardigan. That's it.
Yeah, because...
It pants.
Well, it's because you want to be a man.
Touche.
I
had to hide my broad manly shoulders.
That's right. You have to hide those because otherwise we will notice them.
Get ready for some judging. It's time for Cool or Tool.
All right, first up in Cool or Tool, Stephen Colbert. Diana?
Cool.
Kareem?
Cool.
He is cool. We'll see how well he does replacing Letterman, though. Up next in Cool or Tool, Arby's. Kareem?
It was my first job off the farm, so I'm going to go with cool. I met some really cool people there.
Diana?
I thought Arby's was cool. Like, I still like some of their food.
Yeah, I like Arby's. Arby's is cool.
And they have a sense of humor. I didn't get the second commercial, but they have a sense of humor.
Well, I think the best part was the fact that they didn't hit The Daily Show with a cease and desist. They're like, he's going to mention the name of our restaurant, like, several times a week.
Fuck you.
Go ahead, dude. And finally... The office. Diana?
I say tool just because I hate working in an office. I lose my soul.
Kareem?
My current office, and actually the last two offices I've worked in have been cool, so I'm going to go with cool.
The office is cool. The fight over temperature, not necessarily cool. I'm lucky my office, which is a windowless brick thing, I have my own air conditioner so I can control how cold it is in there, so that's fine.
But, yeah, because actually the thing that contradicts what the study you were just talking about is that once women start going through the change, then that throws that shit like all out the window.
Change. God, I'm so scared. I hope I don't go through that.
You will. It's just going to be in a while.
I hope so.
Yeah, see my office where I work, first thing in the morning, there's one person who comes into work early, and she always turns the heat up because she's by herself and the building is cooled down overnight. And then the rest of the people come in around 9 and turn the air conditioner on to get the temperature back down because there's like 6 or 8 people working in the same office.
Yeah.
So it's constantly up and down.
But, well, when it's cold, it keeps me up and I can work. If it's too hot, I'm just going to like pass out.
Yeah. And you can always put on... It's far easier to add layers than it is to... be too hot.
Exactly.
So. Although the argument is, my fingers are freezing, I can't type.
Get a glove and learn how to type that way. They have gloves.
Blow on.
Stop being a bitch.
Thank you. Thank you, Diana. The real advice here, stop being a bitch.
Because, you know, fucking cussing so much. Oh, well. I apologize to Leslie's family.
Oh, they weren't offended.
Oh.
they curse every bit as much as you do. It's not an issue. They just weren't quite sure what was going on. All right. I'm not really sure how to put this, but in Michigan, there's a man. He's a state representative. And he had an idea, which is just really weird. See, his name is Todd Corser, and he's a state representative. And he was in danger of an affair that he was having with a fellow state representative, Cindy Gamrat. They're both Tea Party activists, by the way. They're both married with children as well. That affair was in danger of becoming exposed. So he came up with a plan. In audio recordings, which I'm not going to play because they're super long and convoluted, but feel free to go and listen to them. They were obtained by a former House aide, Ben Graham, in the Detroit News. Corser concocted an elaborate smear campaign against himself in which an email was to be released alleging that he had sex with a male prostitute. The email would have been the work of an anonymous political enemy and would detail salacious allegations that Corser and the male prostitute were caught having sex behind a Lansing nightclub. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, how is this a plan? Well, it makes sense to him, and here's the explainer. During the May 19th meeting, Corser instructed Graham to send rank-and-file Republicans across Michigan what he called, quote, an over-the-top story that's obscene about me, end quote. It was designed, Corser said in the recording, to inoculate the herd, an apparent reference to Corser and Gamrot's followers in the Tea Party movement. He said, quote, it will make anything else that comes out after that that isn't a video mundane, tame, mundane and tame by comparison. See, he's a married father of four. He said, I need a controlled burn. Graham later refused to help Corser execute his plan, and he was fired for it. Of course, the delicious irony of it being that both Corser and Gamrat are both social conservatives who wear their Christian faith on their sleeves while pursuing legislation against abortion rights and gay marriage. But adultery and lying and cover-ups, they're A-okay. So
that's always been the case, though.
Yeah, this is the weirdest idea I've heard in a while.
This is why these Tea Party people scare me. It's because the shit they come up with is just like they somehow justify it in their head and that they thought this was a good idea and it was okay.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. So in Michigan, well, nicely done. Nicely. Look at those two people. Look at her scary eyes.
Those aren't cute pictures.
They're not. And you know what? They look like my Catholic school pictures.
Because yeah, that's exactly
blue blazer, blue shirt, tie,
blue backdrop.
The lady, blue blazer, blue blouse, slightly unbuttoned.
Oh, that's scandalous. Skank.
She unbuttoned two buttons. Oh my god. So
such a hoe.
So
I
yeah.
mean, well, obviously she's cheating on
obviously
her husband.
She cheated yeah. on her husband with a married man.
Yeah, and they both have kids. So yeah. it's not just the husband.
Well, it's because those two, that's how you knew, though. Two undone buns.
All right. So this came out, and I found it interesting, from thingsrated.com. The 10 U.S. cities that should be avoided like the plague.
Sacktown, Mactown?
Not on the list.
Yeah, we finally did something right.
Number 10, St. Louis, Missouri.
Oh, really?
It has a high homicide rate, and you run a 1 in 53 odds of having a violent crime perpetrated against you.
Fair. Nice, I guess.
So don't be fooled by the Gateway Arch. It is not a nice place. Number 9, Cleveland, Ohio. If you're planning on staying downtown, it's great, which I have, and I did enjoy it. But venturing away from the center of the city isn't always wise. There's crime everywhere, people getting shot on the east side of the river, and not to mention Cleveland's kidnappings that claimed 10 years from Michelle Knight, Amanda Berry, and Gina DeJesus.
Yeah, but that's if you live there.
Well, yes. Number 8, Detroit. I would have expected it to be higher. It was once the car capital of the U.S. It's nothing but a hub for poverty and unemployment. Between 2000 and 2010, the city saw a 25% drop in population, with people living there moving to the suburbs and out of town completely. So, yeah, in fact, there was...
Detroit's making a comeback.
It is not making a comeback.
It is making a comeback.
Don't call it a comeback. In fact, there was a sentencing. A couple of white suburban kids went into Detroit looking for drugs. They were shot execution style in a field. The guys that killed them were sentenced like a couple days ago, and you get a chance to apologize to the family, and the guy apologized to Michael Brown and a few of the other high profile African-Americans that were killed by police, and then he said Black Lives Matter, and then he went to jail.
Stay your ass, stay your monkey ass out the city looking for drugs.
Yeah. Yeah. Number 7, Hazard, Kentucky. Yeah.
It's all in the name. Yeah.
Yeah. The locals call it a black hole that will suck the life out of you.
The fuck does that, why do they call it that?
They don't go into detail. Number 6, Reno, Nevada. Hailed as the biggest little city in the world, Reno is now more commonly referred to as Las Vegas's much poorer cousin.
Yeah, that's what people in SAC go.
Yeah. Yeah. It's number 6 on the list. Number 5, Chicago. It is the third most populous city in the U.S., but has the highest murder rate. Again, much to Kareem's earlier point, that's mostly for the people who live there.
Yeah.
Especially in the less affluent sections of town. Number 4... Oakland. Hopefully Diana made it back out of Oakland. Some have said to avoid Oakland because it's basically becoming the next Detroit. If you're looking to have fun in the California sun, they'd suggest San Francisco. They obviously haven't been there lately because that's not really that much safer.
No, and actually Oakland is being gentrified right now. So
yeah, it's
well, that's
be
because
safe.
That's because no one can afford to live on the peninsula. You can't afford to live in San Francisco is Mexico. It's becoming Mexico, and I don't mean because of the Mexicans. I mean because it's either really rich people or really poor people. Because the only people who can afford to live in San Francisco are the ones with a ton of money or the ones who are getting their stuff taken care of by the government.
Yeah.
Number three, Memphis, Tennessee. And I've been to Memphis as well. Some locals have said the violence is so rampant in Memphis that police have stopped responding to 911 calls. I'm guessing that's in North Memphis. It's attributed to the calls sometimes being setups. In fact, there was a cop murdered there this past week.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
So, yeah.
I thought that's where Justin Timberlake is from.
He is from Memphis.
Again, these are places that I've been to almost all of these places, mm-hmm. except for like Hazard and...
there's no reason to go there.
Yeah. But yeah, there's no reason to go there.
Because it's a black hole.
It's only people that live there. Like, well, if you go to visit, you do pretty good.
To be fair, there were some football players who went for the Liberty Bowl one year who were mugged outside of... I forget the name of the hotel. It's the one where the ducks come down in the elevator and walk into the fountain.
Yeah.
They were mugged outside of that hotel when they were in town for the Liberty Bowl.
They were probably walking around with Beats by Dre headphones.
No.
I don't know. I've seen some football
players.
Well,
they probably knew. No, they probably knew the Liberty Bowl was going on.
Yeah, like that was kind of like they knew what was up. Yeah.
Number two, Atlanta, Georgia. Atlanta, Georgia sucks not only because we'll get stuck in traffic a lot of the time. You'll also get bothered by the heavy rain, aggressive beggars. And besides all of that, there isn't much to do.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Unless you count checking out the Coca-Cola plant.
So the traffic is horrible.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give them that. But there's shit to do.
I thought that place was cracking. Like,
it is cracking, yeah, so I don't know what the hell they're talking about.
I'm just reading.
What's I know.
This is thingsrated.com.
Yeah.
And any guesses as to what the number one place to avoid is?
New York City.
Diana, any guesses?
I would say New York. No, somewhere in Connecticut.
No, it's Houston, Texas.
Damn it.
Houston, Texas. It has a love for the food of the world, so naturally it's referred to as the nation's fattest city, which it is. If you like breathing air that's thick as soup and a mass transit system that leaves a lot to be desired, it's pretty bad when the people who have recommended the place only tell you to try indoor activities. The moral of the story is if you live in any of the sucky places, then I completely feel sympathy for you. However, if you're looking for a nice place to visit in the United States, I'd suggest avoiding all of the particular cities. I don't know. I wouldn't go to Houston. I don't see any reason.
I don't want to go to Houston.
Yeah.
One of my friends is actually moving to Houston. He just got a job there.
I've been to Houston. Houston wasn't that. It was kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have a bunch of. Their downtown has a bunch of really tall buildings, but they're all owned by like oil people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like they were having like a dick who has the biggest dick in the middle of downtown.
And it's humid as fuck.
Yeah,
and
it is. And I'm trying to think. I went to the zoo. That was okay. And it was just okay.
The Houston Zoo? What kind of fucking animals did they have at the Houston Zoo?
The standard, but it wasn't that big.
Yeah.
I was actually disappointed because I've been to... I've been all over the country and I've checked out various zoos and it was one of the disappointing ones. It probably was the most disappointing one.
It sounds like it would be the most disappointing one. Like, I'm surprised that you thought that was... not going to be disappointing.
it's a big, it was supposed to be a big city, so you would think it would be.
It is a big city, but
yeah, but it wasn't. I was unimpressed.
Yeah, Memphis. I liked Memphis when I was there. There's a lot of music history. Yeah. There's a lot of history.
History in Memphis. Yeah. So I really enjoyed my time in Memphis, and
I would love to go back for Memphis in May, which is a big music festival that happens.
Yeah.
I was there for a job interview, and I had just missed that.
Yeah.
But I've walked down Beale Street. I've been to Sun Records.
Yeah. The Gibson Museum is there.
Mm-hmm.
The Rock and Soul Museum. It's upstairs from the Gibson Museum.
Yeah, there's an, you know, of course, the Lorraine Motel and Lorraine, the Civil Rights Museum are all in Memphis. So there's a lot to say. It was a weird list to me.
Yeah.
You know what? It seemed to be, and I will rarely do this, but it seemed to be written by a frightened white person.
Yeah, it did.
Because the one thing that they all seemed to have in common was a very high African-American population.
Yeah.
Because, like, Memphis is more than 50% black.
Yeah.
And I remember going there, and it occurred to me about the middle of the second day, because I'm just, like, going around doing my thing. I'm a stranger in the city, and, you know, I'm doing whatever. And it occurred to me, I'm not seeing that many white people.
Yeah, they're all in Nashville.
Right. And this was back in 2000, so yeah. it was just a very interesting place to be, coming from Vermont, where seeing an African American person is a rarity.
Yeah,
I'm in Memphis, and I thought it was a good sign, though, that it didn't really dawn on me until day two.
Yeah,
if I would have stepped off the plane and went, "Holy fuck,
there's
nothing but black people here.
Yeah,
what the fuck is going on?"
I'm trying to think. Cleveland wasn't. It wasn't that bad. You know, like, I went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, downtown Cleveland,
Is nice. Yeah.
Downtown Cleveland is really nice, and they've got the basketball arena, and it's called Progressive Field now. It was Jacobs Field when I went. That whole area was really nice. Bars, and it was just a really cool downtown. But, again, once you get away from downtown...
Yeah, that's pretty much everywhere, though.
Depending. Yeah. Depending. Here in Sacramento, the new arena is coming along nicely.
Yeah.
Opening up in a year. We'll see how that goes. All right, we promised this. An 81-year-old Connecticut man was arrested. Why? And he's facing criminal charges, too. He was spotted without his clothes humping a bush outside his home. Wallace Berg, who's 81, was arrested last Monday on public indecency and breach of peace charges in connection with the incident at his Stratford residence. According to cops, a neighbor called 911 to report that Berg was walking around in his backyard in the nude and had communed with a bush.
If he's in the backyard, his own backyard, and in the nude, he should be able to do his own thing if it's on his property.
Not if you can see him from the street.
Wait, it's backyard, so how would you see him?
If you can be seen from a public way, then you don't.
I think these neighbors are creeping. That's what I'm trying to say. There's a possibility that these neighbors are
the
creeping.
The neighbor who filmed Berg's antics and later showed the video to police told cops that he confronted him. In response, Berg stopped the indecent behavior, covered himself with a grill cover, apologized, and then went in the house. He's a retired embalmer, by the way.
Oh, so he is...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a modest ranch home ringed by bushes. The plantings did not keep him out of view of the onlookers, though, probably because he was humping them.
Wouldn't that hurt?
Probably. Well, if he went inside when he was confronted.
Yeah, like, hey, we can see a hump in the bush. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me cover myself up and go inside.
Why would you call the police after that?
I don't know.
That's why I'm saying these are probably just shitty neighbors. That's what I'm saying. Like,
probably.
They probably looked over the fence or saw the crack, and they're just nosy as fuck.
Well, here's the only other thing. You might call 911 because you're concerned that behavior is incredibly bizarre and he might be a danger to himself or unable to take care of himself.
Oh, that makes sense. I mean, at 81, yeah, I guess so.
You get an 81-year-old guy, sometimes they're really just a little bit out of it for whatever reason, and... You know, that's never good when you got somebody like that, and you never know what they're going to do or how they're going to handle themselves.
That's true. I shouldn't be such a dick.
The Nate Dowling Show keeps it 100 with Black Guy News.
That's right. It's time for Black Guy News. Headline, Lenny Kravitz shredded so hard his dick fell out on stage. He was wearing some leather trousers in Stockholm, Sweden, and he wasn't wearing any underwear. And then they ripped, and his dick flopped out in front of thousands of people. A fan spoke to a newspaper about the incident, saying, quote, "The producer stepped up and said they had some problems on stage." A bit later, Kravitz came out wearing other trousers. He said, "Sorry, I ripped my trousers." So, here's a little bit of the video. Oh, it's been removed. Oh. Apparently, YouTube is no place for Lenny Kravitz's dick. There you go, Diana. There's Lenny Kravitz's dick. There it is. And he liked
is that
it so
a
much.
Ring?
Yes, he liked it so much he put a ring on it.
Okay.
There's your Beyonce reference.
I'm glad. Look, I haven't seen the picture. I've heard about it. Like,
well, if you'd
week.
Like to, it's right here.
No, that's okay.
It looks weird.
Only dick I want to see is mine.
That's really weird.
And again, he did like it so much he put a ring on it. But I would think you would want underwear and leather pants.
Yeah, you would think.
But
Keith posted about it last week, and he was like, "I've never told a joke with so much passion that my dick came out." And I said,
"There you go, Diana." Well, to be fair, he went down into like a squat position.
I've seen him perform enough to know exactly what he did.
Oh, so
but I told Keith, I was like, "Yeah, I'm pretty sure." They might not even notice it. They might just think that it's a tattoo of a mushroom.
There
yeah,
you go.
I don't want to see it.
I don't see it. That's so
hilarious.
I saw this one thing about it, which I thought was an interesting thing. Like, I mean, this wasn't televised, though, right?
No, it was just a concert.
Then that's different, I guess.
Yeah, it's just a concert.
Because someone compared it to the whole Janet Jackson thing.
No, it's not even remotely that.
And I was like, but.
Not even close.
It was so funny because one of the chicks from the View did a segment on it, and so she was walking around with it, like on a tablet, showing the people.
Do you think like what if like something that would have been really funny if like a sock came out before his dick came out? He was stuffing it.
Here are some of the comments.
No, fine.
Gabrielle Bluestone said, "I was expecting more. I guess he's more Jewish in the pants than black."
Oh, and the jokes. Shots fired.
What else? Let's see.
She doesn't know how it works.
After all, his parental half is Jewish, so... then somebody says, "By the way, it's a phallic fallacy. I've seen small dick black guys and enormous dick Jewish guys. The more dicks you know."
I love that. The more you know, was it Reading Rainbow? The star?
No, that's NBC did PSAs.
NBC? Oh, fuck.
The more you know. Somebody else said, "I never understand this conversation when people see a flaccid penis. Do you not know what growers and showers are?"
Exactly.
Except they said showers. But what's the ring for? Is he married to his penis? Is it a promise cock ring? What is it?
Exactly.
And then the answer to that was, "You see, when a man and his cock love each other very much." So sometimes it is good to delve into the comments. So that's Black Guy News for this episode. You know, oftentimes Black Guy News is nothing too serious. Sometimes it is. Now, Chris Christie, who had his whole debate argument with Rand Paul before the debate, he was out. He was out at a diner. He had a microphone. He was talking to some people, and he let us know about. He was in New Hampshire campaigning, in fact. And
for instance, I'm a Catholic, but I've used birth control, and not just the rhythm method. Okay, so you know, my church has a teaching against birth control. Does that make me an awful Catholic? Because I believe and practiced that function during part of my life? I don't think so. But you know what? I'm only going to find out when it's my time to be judged.
So Chris Christie is boned. That's what he's saying.
Get it.
That's what he's saying. And they made an animated GIF of this. There's a guy sitting there trying to have breakfast or whatever, and he is uncomfortably covering his face with his hand, like the face palm. Because Chris Christie is pacing back and forth behind him with a microphone, talking about how he's used lots of birth control.
Yeah, I would just...
It's like, man, I'm trying to have my eggs here. Look like out of here.
Food sounds really good.
Trying to have eggs.
eggs, get it? Eggs.
Yeah. Hey, you might enjoy this, Kareem. Headline, this is from Arizona. Bounty hunters mistakenly raid police chief's home. Oops.
It was hilarious.
Acting on a bad Facebook tip, an Arizona bail bondsman and his team surrounded the home of Phoenix police chief Joseph Yonner, believing a fugitive was inside. Here's the video of their fuck up. The chief can be seen answering the door in his underwear, armed with a baton, so to speak.
Hilarious.
while North Star fugitive recovery owner Brent Farley demands to see Roderick. Give a fuck who you're looking for. Turn your light off. See, the chief was sleeping, so he was concerned at first. That's what the police spokesperson told NBC News. But a 30-year law enforcement veteran in the sixth largest city in America can handle himself. The recovery teams told police they were ambushing a residence based on a tip that the North Star Fugitive Recovery had received via Facebook, a page that has since been removed. This particular instance was them failing to confirm or vet the information that could have been found by Googling the address. According to police, Farley was ordered to leave the property, but refused until a fellow bounty hunter pulled him aside. Responding officers then arrested Farley for criminal trespass and disorderly conduct. Speaking to the Arizona Central, a North Star employee said the objectively enormous blunder had, quote, been blown all out of proportion. I don't think it was.
Nope, definitely not. It was the perfect amount of proportion.
So it was.
You were too fucking dumb to. It's just like the police. You're like, you're too fucking dumb to stake out the house to see if anybody's coming or going. And you're looking for, they were looking for like a 6'3", 300-pound black man. You went to a 5'9", 175-pound white guy's house.
So great.
The one of the comments, forget swatting. This would have been the greatest trolling of our generation. Pitch bounty hunters against cops and see which faction of retards shoot first.
Wait, can we say retards again?
I'm just reading it. No,
oh, damn it.
No, we can't. I'm just reading it. I read lots of things on this show that you shouldn't say.
Okay.
Including the N-word on occasion. I just thought that was amusing. So therefore, I read it because, hey, it's my show. All right, so Arizona. Now let's go someplace a lot more humid and just as hot.
From goofballs to gators, here's Florida Corner.
A man in Orlando is suing a local dominatrix, accusing her of taking more than $500,000 and his house. See, Judith Gumbrecht, known as Goddess Jude, advertised on her website that she enjoys spanking, flogging, whipping, and other fetish activities, as well as financial slavery for clients who wish to pamper their mistress. Former client Alex Abrams, who's 68, filed a lawsuit in Seminole County, claiming that Gumbrick took more than $500,000 after he added her name to his financial accounts and took ownership of his 1,450-square-foot townhome in Castleberry. Fucking idiot.
What did he think was going to happen?
The lawsuit accuses Gumbrecht of exploitation of an elderly person, theft, and unjust enrichment. Gumbrecht continued to reward Abrams with sexual favors. Abrams would be punished if he failed to adhere to the dominatrix financial requirements. It's according to the lawsuit. Abrams' attorney, Brian Mark, claims Abrams suffers from clinical depression, dementia, and Alzheimer's disease. Well, that's not good. And he said this affected his decision while adding Gumbrecht to his bank accounts and signing a deed in 2014 to transfer his home to her. Adams met Gumbrecht after he divorced his wife of 32 years about 4 years ago. His lawyer said while it's not illegal for Gumbrecht to offer financial slavery services, she knew about his diminished mental state. She went with him to the doctor when he was diagnosed. She was fully aware. And when you're in that professional relationship, you can't exploit them. You cannot take advantage of their physical or mental incapacities or diminished capacity to profit. So, not okay, Florida dominatrix.
Fred, okay, not okay, Diana.
I don't see why it's not.
In St. Petersburg, a Tampa Bay man is facing charges after authorities said he tried to carjack an unmarked police car. That didn't work out well. The St. Petersburg police report says two undercover detectives were sitting in their vehicle last week when 27-year-old Dominique Albert opened their passenger door armed with a steak knife. Oh, Dominique.
Dominatrices and Dominiques.
Both detectives yelled, "Police!" and one drew his gun. Albert reportedly dropped his knife and tried to run away. Detectives caught up with Albert and placed him under arrest. The report says Albert was carrying two additional knives. He faces multiple charges, including carjacking and assaulting a law enforcement officer. Jail records show he's being held on $170,000 bail. They did not list an attorney. So, and kudos to the cops for just arresting him and not killing him.
Yes.
Because I'm guessing Dominique was not a Jewish gentleman. Just throwing that out there. All right. this I found interesting too. It's also from Florida, but I did not put it in Florida Corner because it doesn't belong in Florida Corner. Just because something happened in Florida, it's not really Florida Corner worthy necessarily. See, there's an anchor man on Fox 35. His name's John Brown. He's in Orlando. And last Friday, he had a moment of self-discovery when during a live broadcast, he threw up his hands and walked off the screen. And here's why.
I'm having a good Friday, so I refuse to talk about the Kardashians today. You are on your own, Amy. I can't do it. I've had enough Kardashians. I can't take any more Kardashian stories on this show.
Okay, well, we got to get it in now because you mentioned it, John. Kylie Jenner got a new... Come here, Jamie. Come here. So Kylie Jenner got a new...
Let me ask you this, John.
Oh, he left.
Let me ask you this, John, because it'll kind of flow into the...
And here's the news story that they're trying to tell. Kylie Jenner got a rabbit and named it Bruce.
That's news. Yes. Locally in Florida, because they're in Orlando.
And the DJ from Roomba 100.3 and her accent is trying to explain this story.
Sorry, and you don't have to talk about the Kardashians. How would you like it if your daughter named her pet... John. How would you like that? That's exactly what Kylie Jenner did.
That's not what
she got
did.
A little gray, beautiful, fluffy rabbit and named it Bruce.
Oh,
I don't care. This family, I'm sick of this family.
But do you see
there's
something psychological behind this?
It's like a non-story. Like it's a non-story. We're talking about this family every freaking day on this show. Nobody cares about this family anymore. I've had enough. It's Friday. I want to have a good Friday. I don't want to talk about the Kardashians. That's enough of these guys.
The sad part about it is that I agree with you.
Does anybody listen to the research? Nobody cares about the Kardashians anymore.
That's not true.
He's on fire.
Nobody cares.
We
do it every day.
Breathe. Watch the show. Breathe, my love. Breathe. There. The news is out. Done. Over. Have a great weekend.
By the way, he's off camera. He's off camera. They've got two boxes on screen. One is of the DJ. The other one is the female co-anchor, and the weatherman has slid in there. The guy who's yelling and angry is not on camera.
That's so great.
He's just yelling. He's not done, by the way.
I think it's Friday for him.
His head looks like a tomato right now.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about him. He's it's enough of these guys.
I'm sorry, Jenny, that you had to witness
Dang.
This. Sorry.
To which I can only say...
Hey!
You know, speaking of the...
Oh, yeah, I have one more thing to say, Diana. What were you just going to say?
Tyga?
Nobody cares about him!
Bought Kylie...
Mm-hmm.
A Ferrari for 18th...
Nobody cares about him!
Oh, if you prefer...
Oh, my God, who the hell cares?
This is my favorite new drop.
Nobody cares about him!
Hey!
Nobody cares! Nobody cares about
him.
Are we just going to do this for the rest of the show?
We're pretty much done, so yes. we might.
But can you believe that? Fucking a Ferrari for your 18th birthday from your boyfriend.
Well, now it's legal for him to hit that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so gross.
I still don't get that.
Well,
he looks like he's 16 still, so yeah. I kind of get that. But
how old is he again?
25
or 26.
Yeah.
Ooh,
well, so... I don't. Here's what.
So I'm like, I don't understand how they let that happen.
Yeah.
Here's what I don't understand. I don't understand how all of these people who, rappers and various things, and I know it's because they go deeply into debt and end up bankrupt and destitute. how they're affording multiple Ferraris and million-dollar homes and all of this other fucking nonsense on the regular. Because MC Hammer was the biggest recording star in the world for a couple of years. And he did stuff like that, and he was bankrupt within 5 years.
Yeah, but he bought one for 500 people.
Not just his one 18-year-old girlfriend.
But again...
He went broke because he was trying to... He put the fucking community, the whole... He put Oakland on his bank payroll.
Yeah, he tried to help everybody, and you can't.
So, yeah.
But it just really... It's like, how does this fuckstick, who I could not hum a single one of his quote-unquote song, how has this guy got enough money to buy Ferraris?
That part I don't get. Like, I mean, remember we did a story about Snoop having $420,000
in cash.
So if you have a good night, if you have a good night in a big arena,
yeah,
that's
a stupid amount of money.
But I don't get. I get Snoop. Snoop's been doing it for a while.
No, Tiger's he's like the new wave of like one hit wonders ish. But he's been around. Like it's that new like radio wave of like what rap is. I'm not gonna fucking call it hip hop.
Tech N9ne probably has more money than all of them, and he doesn't have a hit on the radio.
Do you think so?
Yeah. You didn't read the Forbes magazine cover.
Oh, I didn't.
Story on him. Yeah.
No, but he has that radio single now, which is like, he was like, this is the first time he's been on the radio, really.
Yeah.
Which is like surprised me because I fucking love Tech N9ne. That's why I thought it was just underground. But no. I guess he's doing shows, so that's where you're getting money. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's where
that's where the money is.
That's where the money is. Yeah. Money's not doing.
Yeah, at this point, money isn't touring. Yeah. I mean, that's where you make money.
Yeah. Money hasn't been. Huh? Yeah, money's been. But that's where the money's been the whole time. Like you don't make money from the musician, well, a rapper, because you're not doing the music.
You're basically taking other people. It's like painting by numbers.
Yeah, so you're not making much money from the music because you're getting like the least of anybody on the record
because you didn't write anything.
But if you're getting the percent of the gate at the on tour.
Mm-hmm.
And you're selling out arenas, too.
Yeah.
Well, Tiger sells out a lot because he tours with Chris Brown and stuff, too. So.
Well, then he's not the one selling out. Chris Brown is.
No, Tech sells out.
Well, I'm talking about
Tiger.
Tiger, yeah, no.
No, because he's, like, really mainstream, so that fucking young crowd. Like, I'm not surprised he has that money, is what I'm saying. Yeah, I don't agree with it.
Yeah, that young crowd probably would pay for that shit. Yeah.
Nobody cares about him!
Exactly. Yeah. But, like, no, Tech N9ne, I fucking love Tech N9ne. I'm so sad. Every time he's fucking in stock, I miss him.
So you just think you... 20 bucks a ticket, and Arco Hills, what, 17,000 people?
Yeah, 16-something,
16-something? That's... $320,000 for tonight.
Making it rain.
So split that in half.
Split that in
half. Don't even gotta work. So that's his new song. No one.
Yeah.
Okay.
So split that in half. You come out 160 grand.
Yeah, and the answer is ultimately Tiger will be 33 and broke.
Yeah.
Because he's all the money he's spending.
Did you guys hear about that football player that him and his wife are budgeting?
They're living on 60 grand a year. Yeah. That's fucking smart.
Yeah.
Because he's going to make enough money if he stays in the NFL to make that 60 grand a year last them forever.
Yeah. And he's been talking to people and he's been taking classes on how to make money and how to invest. And so.
Yeah. Because he straight up knows his football career isn't forever. Like he knows. Like I was just like, I was very impressed. Yeah.
Your football career can be over tomorrow. I mean, one wrong turn, one bad hit, you're done. And you're not going to go out and get another job. If you're a football player, the likelihood you're going to get another job where you get paid a minimum salary of like 300 or 500 grand a year, that's just not going to happen.
Yeah. And the thing is, he's educating himself, which is the smart thing.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times athletes end up broke. It's not because they didn't try to do the right thing.
Kareem. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar
by the people that they hire.
Yeah.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar would be the latest example. Brilliant dude, UCLA grad, got screwed over by his financial guy.
Yeah.
You got to when you have that much money, you got to keep an eye on it. Because,
you know, Dwight Freeney has that lawsuit against Bank of America right now.
What happened?
Because they screwed him over on his money. Like he, he did that. He went to the bank. He was like, oh, I'll go to, he went to Bank of America to invest.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was a mistake.
Or
right
to get
there.
Them to invest his money, and
oh, yeah,
they
that's
stole
a big
his money.
Oh, that's no good.
That's a big no-no. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's wrap this baby up and call it a week.
And now, the Nate Darling Show takes it to a simpler place. It's time for Small Town News.
We go back to Maine, Thomason, Maine, to be exact, where the 148th annual Kallik Family Reunion will be held tomorrow, Saturday, August 15th, at the Finnish Heritage Center on Route 131 and South Thomas. And it's just a mile off Route 1. In addition to socializing and genealogy, we'll visit the Finnish Heritage Museum next door. The location is close to Montpelier, the reconstructed home of Washington's General Henry Knox. And we've arranged for a private tour of that monument in the afternoon, by reservation only. A special program is being arranged for the children. Sandwiches and drinks will be provided, but bring something to share, you cheap bastards. The schedule is 9 a.m. registration, coffee and genealogy, 11 a.m. business meeting, noon lunch, 1 p.m. family photo, and 1:30 p.m. tour of Montpelier by reservation. Admission, which includes the lunch, is $12 for adults, free for children, and the Montpelier tour is $8. Drop-ins are welcome, so you don't have to be part of the family to go to the family reunion, but advance registration is important for sandwiches in Montpelier. Hey, for information, call 207-596-5502. That's Small Town News.
Dear God. Okay, we're done.
You can go to the family reunion, even if you're not part of the family.
That's so cute.
It's just $12.
I've been wanting to live in a small town now ever since like I started getting into Gilmore Girls. I'm thinking like I'm going to do my thing and then like kind of set up my family in a small town.
So it has nothing to do with Small Town News? Diana, I'm very disappointed.
Gilmore Girls.
I was hoping that you would be.
So, are you going to be Suki or Lorelai in this dream world?
Oh, I want to cook. I want a daughter. I like kind of am sad that I don't have a daughter. I didn't have a daughter at 16. That's what this show has done to me, guys.
Well, you could just adopt a 10-year-old.
No, it's not the same.
Oh, but it is.
No, because I have to raise.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I have to raise the kid.
She has to raise the child so the child can be as crazy as she is.
Exactly. Nah. And get my. We can have our little, you know, banter and our little. I need to stop watching TV.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I think this went well. Oh, boy. So, everybody have a safe weekend. Hey, if you're in Monterey, I'll be there saying hello. Watching Adam Carolla. My man, Adam Carolla, racing around the raceway.
Yes, and hopefully I found Esperanza Spalding. Saw me in the crowd and she swept me away. And I won't see you bastards next week.
And hopefully Diana isn't killed in Oakland. So, hey, if you get killed in Oakland, can you text me? Just so I know that
I'll
you won't be here.
I'll make sure to be on the contact list when I do the emergency contact stuff. Because when I got arrested, that's what I had to do too. I'm like, hey, hit up this person and this person, this person. I gave my phone.
Hey, find a Buddha in Oakland.
Buddha?
Yeah, there's a Buddha that everybody, that people pray to. It's on a corner in Oakland. It's actually on a little traffic island in Oakland.
I need to find that.
Yeah.
I will do that. I don't know if we're going to have time, but because I'm just going to go to the show then back.
Yeah, it's probably for the best. You can Google it up, though, if you want to. Cause
yeah, and do that.
Crime in that part of the city is down like 80% where they put the Buddha.
that's the key. The Buddha's there. No one's going to be committing crimes. Because, I mean, what are you going to do? Anyway, that's going to do it for this episode. And this week of the Nate Darling Show, we've got a new Well Hung podcast for Monday. There's lots of chat, including what Ryan Adams is doing with a Taylor Swift album.
And it's my coming out.
Oh, yes. Diana finally reveals her true self to everybody. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. Sam will be back to tell us all about Brazil and how he ruined it for the natives. So until then, enjoy more Nirvana. This is Dumb on the Nate Darling Show. Bye-bye.
dun, dun, dun.